This morning I want to share with you about the Acts of the Church from Acts chapter 2. And I want to start off giving you a little preference so you don't allow in any way the enemy to bring discouragement or turning your spiritual ears off or say, here we go again, or we've heard this before. Because I always like to sit in the body of Christ. Now, I'm 46 years old. I've been saved since I was six, but really since I've been born. But we'll say I actually said it with my mouth when I was 6 years old. I've never strayed from the things of God. I've been in the house of God many, many times over. There's been plenty of messages where I say, oh, yes, I got this. Oh, yes, I understand this. I'm doing this. But I don't shut my ears off and not say, am I doing it the best way that I can? Also, I'm encouraged when I hear that I'm doing something that's being said maybe over and over again. What I'm going to say today, some of them might not be really new, but I'm saying it because there's people in here that are not doing it. And that's really why God wants to say it again. And if you are doing it, and if you come out of one area and are doing it correctly, you can say, thank God, yes, I'm encouraged. I want to continue moving forward. This church is not perfect. If it was, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. No perfect people allowed. So there's areas that we can grow. So don't say, oh, I'm doing this. I've been doing this for years, and shut your ears off. Be encouraged that I want to continue to do it. Maybe the Lord wants you to go a little further in whatever area this might be and test you and grow a little stronger. What was that quote you said last week? I'm not going to remember, but it was awesome about being strong. You're good at what you do, but yeah, come up here. You'll say that again in case you weren't here. I don't want to mess it up. If you had a hard time with it, I don't want to mess it up.
It's easier to be strong in a battle or a test when it's easy. But when the test is strong and hard, that's when you're at your strongest. That's when the reward is better. Look at Jesus when whatever he went through. He could have quit, but he stayed strong. Amen?
Amen. You know, we get good at things, and we don't want any more challenges because we're getting good at it. But if we want to overcome the issues that are trying to come against us and rear their ugly heads, we got to get stronger and move forward on that. So I just encourage you, open up your spiritual ears, say, God, I'm going to receive all that you have for me this morning. I know God's going to do and move in this service this morning. I know I can sense it already. And we're just going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47, I was asking the Lord, God, why are we not seeing the church attitude daily? Why is that? And the Lord just led me to this scripture, and, you know, and I started reading through it. And this is the perfect outline for the Acts of the Church to follow, to see the kingdom of God added today. Does everybody in here want to see the kingdom of God to added daily? We could all get excited and say, yes, amen. Well, it's going to cost you something to do that. And then it gets quiet. It's not on the pastors 100% to add them to the church daily. Peter preached the word, we're going to see it, 3,000 people saved, boom. Then they started doing all this stuff as the body of Christ, and at the end of all the things that they were doing, God added to the church daily. So you're sitting here, the church has been started, we've been in existence for many, many years, and so it's not all in the pastor, there comes back something on you, some requirements on you to add to the church daily. How many want to add to the church daily, amen? Are we still excited about that, even though now I said you have to do something about it? It's not all about rah, rah, yes, add to the church. Do what? Huh? You want me to do this? Yes, we need you as the body of Christ. The neck, the arms, the fingers, the toes, the legs, the forearms, the shins, the ears. Every part of the body of Christ functioning together. We all have different gifts, but when we look at these scripture verses, this is a plain outline of what the early church did, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Church, to see the church attitude daily. And if that is really our heart's desire and our hunger and what we should be doing, we're going to be challenged today to either continue doing these things or maybe get online and start to do some of them or do them better. Not be wishy-washy. We all have things that we get wishy-washy in, eating, exercise, conversations, friends, confessions, mindsets. It goes on and on, right? It kind of goes like this sometimes. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So we have more than enough to overcome these things. Sometimes we have to just buckle down and do them, amen? And it looks like I'm the buckle down preacher. So let's get ready to buckle down and hear what the word of God's got to say, amen? Because I'm black and white. That's the way I live. It's right and wrong. There's no gray area. I'm not perfect, and believe me, I'm not even saying that, but I know right and wrong. So a lot of times I don't need to take days and weeks to pray about something when I know something's right and something's wrong. When I sense something's wrong, I need to change it. When I sense something's right, I need to keep doing it. It really doesn't take days and meditation and what should I do. We know what we should do. And sometimes you got to buckle down and do it even if we don't want to. Amen. So let's just look at what these verses say. And real quick, Galatians 6:9, you don't have to turn there. It says what? Do not grow weary in well-doing, because in due season you will reap your harvest. So again, if you're doing most of these, all of these, praise God, don't grow weary in it. Don't get complacent in it. Don't slack off in it. Don't think I've done enough. Unfortunately, we've heard over the years some people say to us, well, I've served in that area for a long time. It's time for me to stop doing that and then stop serving altogether. That's such a shame. Maybe you don't be a Sunday school teacher anymore, but you just don't stop serving in the kingdom of God. I've given my 15 years, now I want to do what I want to do. That's such a shame. Just keep forward, keep plodding along, keep doing it. Do not grow weary. Do not get discouraged in what you're doing and say it's not working. It does work. It will work. Amen. So let's just look at these verses here, starting with 36. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. This is the body of Christ, Peter speaking. And Peter said, and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church. And then they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear, and the word fear here is awe, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed would have gathered together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all of anyone that had need. So continually daily with one another in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And here it is, and then the Lord added to the church daily to those being saved. So there's a few things that we need to do, and this is a good outline of what the body of Christ should be doing today. Unfortunately, the church in America is not sticking to the word of God. They're taking a little bit of the word, adding what somebody else is doing, what they think is good, what looks good, what tastes good, what smells good, what sounds good to people, and they're diluting what the word of God is saying. But this is just an outline from the word of God. I'm not going to add any polyisms to it. Just going to tell you what the word says. You have to decide if you want to continue to do this. Do you want to see souls saved and add to the kingdom of God daily? I do. We shared with the kids on Thursday. We're talking about serving, and we don't know the seeds that they sow. The kids may never see that return, but there's a young kid who's at the feeding center in Albany that when he was 6, 7 years old, he's taking lunches out of the cooler when I put them in. He's stealing things out of the bags. This young man, the pastor's daughter adopted him. He just graduated high school. He's working in the feeding center now and going to college in Arkansas. And I was teasing him. I'm like, if you were to say pick a kid who's going to succeed, you weren't the one I was going to pick. I got news for you. And he laughed. And he said, I was a terror. Nobody wanted me, but they showed me love. And those seats, he goes, I remember you guys coming every year. I couldn't wait to see the shirt you were wearing. By the way, our shirts are hot pink this year. They're awesome. But he couldn't wait to see us. Why? Because we were sowing those seeds. We didn't know what the return was going to be. So you don't know as you apply the word of God to your life and to the body of Christ, the seeds that are going to come out of this. Amen? So the first thing we need to do, salvation, verse 37 and 38. And now they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. We have to open our heart to receive the free gift of God. There could be somebody in this place today that doesn't really have salvation or is not walking in their personal salvation. And what's interesting here and what the Lord really put on my heart about this verse is I love where it says, now they heard this, Peter was speaking, and they were cut to the heart. You can't cut a stony heart. And Ezekiel talks about, you can read it 36, 26, and 27, about he was talking about Israel and how God was going to replace their heart with a heart of flesh. And only the Lord, church, can cut through generational issues, can cut through hurts, can cut through mindsets, can change your heart. But the key here is the people of God were ready with a heart of flesh to say, okay, cut me, Lord. And we as the body of Christ, you can say you're saved. And if you're not living your life according to the word of God, going through the motions, you know, being a Christian is being Christ-like. Repenting is going in this direction and turning and going that direction. I feel like I said it every time I preach, but that's really what repentance is. Not receive Christ and continue to move towards sin or not change anything. And so we have to allow the Spirit of God to cut into our heart. And that's what was going on here. They were cut to the heart with the words of the apostles. Allow yourself, when you come into the house of God, to have a pliable heart, a teachable heart, where God can cut into that. You ask the Lord to come into your heart, but if you have a falling away, or you're having a time where you have to reconnect with the Lord, or rededicate your life, do it. If you feel your heart is getting stony again, now I don't know everybody in this room, but I know most people, and I'd say maybe everybody might be saved, but if you find your heart getting harder and stony and not allowing these words that are being preached from the pulpit to cut through, ask the Lord to soften your heart. Ask him to forgive you again. Can you go wrong by saying, God, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. I want to be a part of your family. I want to have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Could you ever go wrong by saying that? Did you ever double check an investment or deposit slip? Did I shut this off? Did I do this? Did I leave the stove on? Is the iron on? Who cares? And the house burns down? You wouldn't do that. You go back and check. I think I might have left it on. I want to make sure I'm right. So salvation, the first thing here, ask the Lord to continue to keep your heart a heart of flesh so that when the Lord and the Word of God comes in, it can cut right through every time. It's okay to have your heart spiritually cut every time you come into the presence of God because he cuts it open. He splits it open. He puts what he needs into it. He puts it back together. He doesn't leave us left forsaking or wanting or desiring anything, but having a heart of flesh just allows him to do what he needs to do. Spiritual surgery in our lives. Amen. So I encourage you this morning, we even have an altar time. It's an awesome thing at the end of service. Just the presence of God moving. If you want to take time to do that this morning, get in the presence of God in your devotion time, whatever it is. Make sure you're right with God. Make sure everything's all right all the time. You can't do it too much. Amen. The second thing is to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and control us. The second part of 38. After the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, a lot of times people confuse speaking in tongues or your prayer language as receiving the Holy Spirit. The Bible says as soon as we're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit inside of us. Tongues, prayer language, signs and wonders, that's what happens when the Spirit of God is in you. But we all have the Spirit of God in us. And what the apostle is saying is receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to control us. Give him full control of our lives so we'll be able to effectively be moved and do what God's calling us to do. Did you ever hear that before in this church? Maybe once or twice, right? Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. So keep your, sorry, is that 5? 8. 8, 5. Romans 8, 5 through 9. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enemy against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor it can't be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Here is what Peter is saying to the church. You're not in the flesh anymore. Receive the Spirit. And indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not in you. So there it is right there. If you haven't received salvation, you don't have the Spirit of God in you. But if you receive salvation, it says right here, he's in you. And then this is going to be a scripture verse you should read every single day before you even get set foot out of your house. I'm not going to set my mind on the things of this world. I know what's waiting for me at work. I know what's waiting for me when I get downstairs. I know what's waiting for me later tonight, but I'm going to set my minds on the things of the Spirit so I don't gratify and satisfy the things of the flesh. That should be your mindset every day. We've heard this verse many, many times, but are you applying it? And realizing that if you do set your mind on the things of the flesh, or in the Spirit, it's impossible to give in to the flesh. If you're really zoned in and set in, why? Because God's over here and the flesh is over here. And if you're with God, you can't be over here. It's impossible. It says right here, it's war against them. There's no peace. So if you're gradually moving this way into the gray areas, you're going away from God. Set your minds on the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. That's what Peter's telling the church here, to receive the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, this is all new to them. And we're going to talk about it in a minute. They didn't know what the things of the Spirit were like. They were coming into the new church, and they were hungry for it. You know, how many times do we see overseas the power of God move in a mighty way? Do you want to know why? Because they're hungry and don't care about anything else but wanting what God has for them, instead of worrying about what's going to happen later or worried about what's going on in their family lives. Or these people walk miles and travel to see the presence of God move. And this is how the church was so excited. Why is the church today not so excited? Why do we find things to keep us out of church, to keep us from serving, to keep us from following what God's telling us to do, that become more important? That's what happens in that separation when we start to migrate over to the flesh. Because we're putting things in between us and God. And every single day, say to ourselves, I'm going to set my mind on the things of the Spirit today. What does set mean? Here's the word of God. I'm going to set my mind on this morning. Here's the word of God. I'm going to do what I want today. Shouldn't be. Set our minds on the things of the Spirit. God, I'm going to put my life in your hands. My kids' lives in your hands. My job's in your hands. My finances in your hands. My physical issues are in your hands. My generational issues that are not mine anymore are in your hands. Tony said last week, too, that his dad used to say, it's not your problem, it's God's problem. So stop talking about it. If you got issues, give it over to the Lord. It's his problem. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. His burden is easy. His yoke is light. But yet we want to carry it around. Unfortunately, some of us like it. It's a shame. We like talking about it. We like people, oh, are you okay? We enjoy that. We told a story years ago. There was a gentleman here that was on crutches that had MS, and he would come every week and get excited, and pastor he would come to the front, and we were all believing for his healing, and pastor said, asked him one day, he says, do you want to be healed? He goes, no, I like the attention. That's what happens when your mind's not set on the things of the Spirit. When people's attention is more important than God bringing healing or God's attention in your life, amen? So don't get caught into that trap, amen? The next one, separate from the things of this world, verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted him, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. We as believers have to stop doing what everybody else is doing. It's as plain as simple as that. You have to be, if you have young people in this place and you're raising kids, you better seriously pray about when you get them their devices. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because just because everybody else is getting one and has one, we told our kids a long time ago, I think when they hit it was probably like, I don't know, fifth or sixth grade, kids were getting it, and it was more of the gaming systems. And we looked at them and said, we don't care what everybody else has in school. You'll get it when we think you're good and ready to get it. Anthony still to this day says he was the last high schooler in the world that didn't have a cell phone. He didn't get his cell phone until, I don't know, somewhere halfway through his ninth grade year. Think about that for a second. He was in ninth grade. Be careful that you're not just doing what everybody else is doing. You're not looking at what everybody else is doing. You're not watching what everybody else is watching. You're not talking like everybody else is talking. Be very careful. Pray about it. You may not be popular, but in the end, your kids will thank you. And our kids still are not, you know, they're not, Dad, I can't move my neck today. There's parameters and things you teach your children. Why? So when they get older, other things don't become out of whack. It's all about moderation, but make sure you're asking the Lord, when should I do this? Just don't do it because everybody else do it. Paul tells us that everything is permissible, but it's not beneficial. So you can say, oh, what's the big deal? But be careful, because you want to make sure you're doing what God's telling you to do. And Jesus gave this perfect example. He said, what? I don't do anything unless my Father tells me first. Jesus. I would think he had a little authority that he could have said, let me go out a little bit on my own here. I think I got this. I've healed 32 people since breakfast. I've had, look at all my people following me around. But he's still, no, I'm not doing anything until my Father first tells me to do it. We have to have that same kind of mentality. I'm not going to do it because I saw another church do it, another Christian do it. Church, you don't know where they've come from, what they've been through. You don't know if they're not listening to the Spirit of God. Just because it's on Christian television or a Christian set, it doesn't always make it right. Just because you see it on Google, it's not always true. Do a little research. Think about it before you get yourself into trouble. But I go to the Holy Spirit, And if something doesn't feel right, Holy Spirit, should I do this? Should I say this? Is this time to do this? And it's so much better when you walk in the things of God and hit his timing. You see things are blessed and done in moderation. And that was Paul saying. Make sure that you're asking him before you do anything. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6:17. We have to separate what everybody else is doing. I am not a follower. If you know me at all, if somebody else is doing it, chances are I'm not touching it. I like to be the first. I like it to be fresh. I like it to be from the presence of God. I like to have ideas straight from heaven. I don't watch anything. I don't look at anything. When we first started doing youth ministry 23 years ago and we set up the program that we have, we had people saying, where'd you go to get that? Who told you about that? Oh, the Holy Spirit told us what to do. Even with our advance, when the Lord said, stop calling it a retreat, calling it advance, I saw somebody else say that. I don't even know where I was. I saw. And the Lord gave that to us. We wanted it to be fresh and something that we could build on. And so I want to have something new. I want to be separate from what the world's doing. I like being different. I like being on the cutting edge of things and knowing that being in tune with the Spirit of God, separating yourself from the world, allows you to hear what God's saying to you. And so 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, therefore come out from among and separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean and I will receive you. And the Lord painted me a picture of this about the Lord receiving us and being saved from this perverse generation. It's the picture of someone drowning. And when you're drowning, you're in the environment of the water. And as long as you're in that environment of the water, you could drown. But being saved means to come out from the water, being plucked up by the presence of God or by your walk with the Lord, coming out of that environment. So if you come out of that environment, stand on a board, sit on a board, get on a boat, run to shore, does that environment affect you anymore? It's impossible. I have not seen anybody drown on land yet, unless it's a flash flood. But nobody is drowned standing on a boat that's floating. Nobody is drowned sitting on top of a tube or a life raft that's floating. If there's a hole in it, now we have a different story. But being saved and being taken out of this perverse generation is the picture of the Lord bending down, pulling you out of the environment, the water, and saying, no more getting in there. And we have to stop jumping back in and doing a cannonball. Oh, I forget what it looks like. Oh, I want to put my foot in. Or everybody else is swimming and it looks like they're having fun. When you really look, they're all drowning and they're just flailing their hands. Being saved is allowing the Lord to take you out of the perverse generation, the water of this world, and to pull you up out of it so that it can't affect you anymore. Then he can receive you. So it's the picture of the Lord picking you up, pulling you into his arms, brushing you off, drying you off, receiving you because you're allowing to be pulled out of the environment. But how many times do you sometimes you see people fighting coming out of it? Sometimes you'll see someone being saved and they're panicking and stop flailing your arms, calm down. You ever see it on like the Weather Channel, people in a flash flood in a river and they're flailing, calm down, stay still, let me grab you and grab hold of you. And sometimes we're just flailing around going, God, where are you? God, where are you? And just calm down. Say, God, I want to be separate from this and allow him to just pick you up and separate you from that environment. Amen. We should want no part of the world's environment in any way. Get out of the environment. So be very careful where you go, where you let your kids go, what you're doing, who you're talking to, who you're allowing yourself to be invested with. Every single thing you do, you should be asking the Lord. We've said it for years. Vacations, time we spend with people, whatever it is, we ask the Lord, is this what we're supposed to be doing? Because we want to be separate from the things of this world just because everybody else is doing it. Amen. The next one, receive each word with gladness. So everybody smile. You're receiving this word with gladness this morning. Here's the test right here. Verse 41, then those who gladly received the words were baptized. So not everybody received it. They got saved. They didn't like what was being said. There's people that are going to leave this place today. As much as I don't want it to happen, but it's the natural man that's going to say, oh, I don't want to do that, or I don't believe that, or that's not me. Received the word with gladness, some of them, and then they were baptized that day, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. So nobody likes to be corrected or changed, but when we allow ourselves to be corrected by the word, we'll see results, because his word never comes back void. Look it, I don't like being corrected at all. My wife can tell you that. My mom can tell you that. My dad could tell you that. My brother could tell you that. Even my kids could tell you that. I work with my mom, with my father, with my brother. My mom, at 46-year-old, still has to sit me down sometimes and correct me. And it's not fun for her to do that to a 46-year-old man. But sometimes I need correction. Sometimes my wife has to correct me. Right, honey? No. Yes, you have. This is your chance to agree. Yeah. You have to receive this correction. You have to take it with gladness. Just the other day, I had to go back and apologize to my mother and father about something I did. She called me back and said, she said, oh yeah, no problem, don't worry about it. And then she called back later and said, I'm glad you did, because I was mad at you. And I had to tell you that, you know, you being obedient, receiving that correction was something you needed to do. So nobody likes to be corrected, however old you are. You hear people say as they get older, I want to eat whatever I want to want. I want to do whatever I want. If I don't want to do that, I'm not going to do that. That's a bad mindset to have. Always look to receive some kind of criticism or correction with gladness. And so the body of Christ is the same way. We don't always like what we hear when we come to church, but this isn't a church that's going to pat you on the back and send you your merry old way the same way you came in. We're going to pat you on your back, kick you in your butt, and say, do it better next time. Amen. If you want to raise your children that way, you're going to have some, excuse my French, hellraisers in your house. They're going to rule and run your house. If you don't correct them and steer them and get them in the right way. Amen. So make sure that you are receiving the word with gladness. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And you don't have to turn there, but Mark 4:20 talks about allowing the ground to be ready to receive the seed so that it grows. Not thorny ground, not stony ground, not ground that's not receiving. But Mark 4:20 talks about receiving the word with gladness so that it grows and produces fruit. Amen. But let's look at what 1 Thessalonians says here. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, this is Paul talking to the church, you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but it as the word of truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So here I am speaking today. Are you going to receive this as the word from Paulie or the word from the Lord? I mean, that's what we're doing when we're preaching from this pulpit, is taking a word that the Lord's giving us from heaven, delivering it to you, and it's up to you to do something with it. And especially today, do you want to see the church attitude daily? Yes, amen. Let's try that again. Do you want to see the church attitude daily? Yes. See how it's not so as much exciting now when we have some things we have to do? That's why I said in the beginning, yes, amen, rah-rah church, do what? Oh, okay, maybe. Do we want to see the church attitude daily? Amen. Who's that on to do? Wow, that was bad. Who's that on to do? The body of Christ. Amen. The pastors are leading you. They're giving you a vision. They're giving you food. Receive that food with gladness. I don't go to too many restaurants where I'm not really excited when I see my food. You know, I choose not to go somewhere that I don't like to eat. Don't make church the same way. Come and say, I can't wait to see what's going to be delivered today. I want to have an attitude, ooh, I can't wait to see that giant plate. I love going places that's family style, because I try to get that plate first because I think I can eat the whole family style thing myself. But I get excited when I'm ready to eat, spiritually the same thing. Get excited when you come into the house of God. What's God going to say to me today? I want to receive it with gladness, even though it might not make you excited or you don't want to be corrected. Allow God to do that, amen? The fifth one, continue to stay plugged into your leadership and in their teaching. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. So they're following they're starting a church. They're teaching them how to take communion. They're teaching them how to pray. They're teaching them how to receive the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came and gave his life. You know, think about what they had, the mindset they had to change. It was idol worship. It was the priest. It was the inner court. It was, you know, nobody could go in. You messed up. You had to sacrifice a lamb and built an altar. They're changing all this, saying, no, the spotless lamb gave his life. The temple veil has been ripped in two. You have access into the Holy of Holies whenever you want. You can move in signs and wonders. You know, nobody was being healed. Signs and wonders weren't being done until Jesus came to earth and gave his life. And so they're changing this whole doctrine. And they were jumping in, just jumping right in, taking everything in. We need to be the same way. Take the teaching that our leadership's teaching us and plug into it. Don't become so like, oh, that word again, or oh, and start to take it for granted. That's such a shame in the church in America today. That's why if you go overseas, you see hordes of people coming because they're hopeless, because they have nothing, because they're destitute. And I believe that the enemy is released on the America and in other countries where everything's going okay, and you're not wondering where you're going to eat, and you're not wondering where you're going to sleep, You're not wondering these things, and we just kind of take it for granted, and we get lazy in our spiritual walk, and we take for granted the teachings from heaven that your leaders are teaching you. Don't do that. Stay plugged in. Stay excited about it. Be willing to participate in every area of the local church, heeding what the pastor's saying. Stick with the vision. It's a vital part of the local church. You know, when people come in, they should see people smiling and serving, and it's exciting. You want to be a part of this body. You know, when you see the giant distribution center and say, what's going on in there? It's exciting to see about it. You know, just yesterday, Nikki and my mom and dad went to this like estate sale, and they were looking around at some stuff, and it was near the end of it, and they just started talking to the person, and there was like boxes of dishes, and they just were, you know, they weren't interested in them, and they just got on the subject of talking about what they did in the distribution center, and they gave them all these, they were trying to sell them, gave them all the dishes and said, oh, we want to give this to you. We don't want to sell. Take it. Let it be a part. This is people don't even know who we are or where we are. But it's exciting when you catch on to that vision about what's God doing and the vision that Harvest Church is portraying to you. It's exciting. Get excited about it. Come in ready to receive the teachings from what your pastors are telling you to do and plug yourself into it. Stay plugged in volunteering. Find something to do. New members. Old members, old members, stay plugged in, do something. It's such a shame to just walk in the church, worship, and leave, and that's your contact with the body, your local body. It shouldn't be like that. We're never going to make or force anybody. We're never going to call you up and say, yo, God, we need you. No, we know God supplies and always takes care of every need and every ministry. And don't look around and say, oh, they have plenty of that, or oh, they don't need me. Don't let the enemy rob you and allow them to do that. Get plugged into the local body. Stay plugged in. Do something. Volunteer. Pantry. Get on a list if we need to do something with the distribution center. We got a call the other day from the Red Roof Inn. They transformed 60 rooms. They were going to throw all the furniture away. And the lady who was running the hotel used to be a social worker and said, you've helped me out many a times. I had a job change. Come and get it. Some people were able to come and help us. I got the kids. I said, who wants ice cream? Got all these volunteers. I said, work first, then we go for ice cream. But these kids worked, and they were so excited to be a part of that. God's doing different things. Be a part of it. Get involved with it. You know, when you see the other side of church coming early, serving, being a part of the ministry team, it'll bless you. And if you have children, it'll start to show them how to serve. See this kid right here? I didn't make him be an usher. His uncle might have paid him off, but I didn't make him be an usher. That's not the way my parents did it. I don't make them do a thing in the house of God. Nico asks me every week, do I have to mow any lawns? Do we have to get any furniture? But he'll ask every week. And then I say, no, you're good. I'm like, thank God, sleep in late, Xbox, here I come. Cool basement. But he asks first. I don't go, here, kids, here's a list. This is what you're doing. Do we ever do that? No. We want them to want to learn how to serve. We want them to do that at an early age. And then they want to do it. They follow you around and do it. That's I learned from my dad. I'm teaching my children. If you're in the house of God, start to serve. Your children will see you doing it, and then they will latch on to it too. Amen? So I encourage you to do that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not sometimes. Not when it's convenient. Not when it feels good. Let me tell you something. Serving when things aren't going well, that's when you really see God move. It's easy to serve when everything's hunky-dory. It's easy to serve when there's nothing going on at home or you're not dealing with physical issues. That's easy. But when you're challenged on a Wednesday night, when you're a greeter and you've had a horrible work week, or Sunday morning when there's something going on, you're in an emergency room at night on Saturday night, and it's time for you to serve, and you're quick to say, no, I can't do it. Man, push through that. And God will honor and bless you more than you can comprehend. That's not to say that God's not going to take care of you, but let me tell you something. You will be able to push through a lot of things when you just gut it out and say, no, I'm going to serve, and nothing's going to stop me from serving in the house of God. It says here, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here's the greatest thing about coming and working in the house of God. Your labor is never in vain. We work for a paycheck. Right? If we didn't need a paycheck, would we really do what we're doing? Some people would say, no. No thanks. You can have it. But let me tell you something. When you serve in the house of God, it's never in vain. And don't let that world mentality of, you know, give in where you become complacent and not do it. Man, serve in the house of God. It's never vain. You need a financial breakthrough. You need health in your body. You need something changed on your job or in your family. Serve. Give something back. Jesus came. He said, I don't want to be served. I came to serve. Give of yourselves. We say it. This is a selfie society. What can I do for me? That's not the body of Christ. And that is certainly not the example of our Lord and Savior in any way. The next one, a couple more here. How are we doing on time? Not too bad. All right. Verse 43. Never take for granted the move of the Spirit. Then fear, or the word awe, came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. What just happened this morning is a perfect example with the members. We've never done that before in that way. God wanted to do that with those members. And if you were a member before, don't get mad. Don't get mad. They didn't do that for me. You know how many things I missed out being saved my entire life? I didn't get to do all the fun stuff the youth kids are doing. I didn't have a big gym to play in. I didn't have any property to play in. I didn't have any friends to hang out with. I don't get mad and go, well, they have it better than I ever did. Don't let the enemy do that. I feel like people might have been thinking in their mind, they didn't do that when I was a member. Don't go there. You're a vital part of the ministry, and God wants to do different things. And here's the thing. Never take for granted the move of the Spirit. Now, I'm not telling you to go to church somewhere else, but if you go to church somewhere else, you're not seeing the Spirit of God move freely and with order like it does in this church in many places. Just what happened this morning with the members, allowing the Spirit of God, they just said, lay hands on them. Then the Spirit of God takes over. We should stay in awe and reverence of that. Oh, another move of the Spirit. Awesome. Not like, oh yeah, typical. You know, like my mom tells a story. Was it Jamie when we had that guy years and years ago who used to always give the word out loud? Eshemiah, Eshemiah. And Jamie was coloring in his front pew and the guy started doing it and Jamie finished his sentence for him and he didn't even stop coloring. He was just used to it. It was like, yeah, Eshemiah. And it was the funniest thing. He just coloring, not paying attention. But as a child, he takes for granted the move of the Spirit. Don't allow that to happen as an adult. Say, oh, they're praying for somebody again. Let me go to the bathroom. Let me check. Let me look on my phone. No, be in awe and reverence. Oh, God's moving again this morning. What is he doing? Can I receive from what God's doing in this service this morning? I'm telling you, I'm not suggesting you go anywhere else, but if there's something else going on an off church day, check it out and let me know if you see the Spirit of God moving. And seeing the Spirit of God touching people's lives like it freely flows in this house. It doesn't happen all the time, church. Don't take it for granted. The Israelites were a perfect example of a falling prey to this. They took for granted that the Red Sea was parted. They took for granted that there was a pillar of smoke and fire protecting them. They took for granted that they had daily manna. They took for granted that their shoes never wore out. They took for granted that water came out of a rock. What do? They wanted a piece of Egypt and made themselves a golden image. I mean, think about the stuff that was going on here. 40 years, your shoes don't wear out. We can't get a pair of Nikes to last a month. Never wearing out. A pillar of smoke and fire. They were come out of the tent. There it is again. No big deal. Oh, there are all the enemies on the other side. No big deal. You take for granted. You're not in awe. Stay in awe of the things of God. That's the fastest way that the enemy will come against you is when we stop staying in awe of the presence and the move of God. Amen. Be excited. And if it's not for you, be excited for who it is for. There's nothing more exciting than see someone's lives touched and transformed by the presence of God. And if you're hungry and you're desiring it, God will speak to you right in your seat. You don't need someone to lay hands on you. The Spirit of God, as they were praying for people, was not a wall right here. You can't have none. You weren't in the front row. None for you. Just right here. The wall stopped here. Are you kidding me? It could hit you in the back row. It could hit you in the bathroom. It could hit you. We've had so many people, and we've seen so many people. They'll walk in the congregation. We as the worship team see a jazz mic. They'll walk in and immediately start crying. It's the move of the Spirit. Don't take it for granted. God will hit you if you're ready to receive. That's a heart that's ready to receive someone. When you come in, you go, oh, I feel the presence of God. Oh, that's exciting. Amen. Don't let the enemy steal that from you. Amen. So let's look at this one. And I wouldn't be saying and talking about this if everybody was participating. I'm going to say this right now. About giving and about sowing. If Harvest Church was 100% in with this, I would have kept it right out. And I am not here to say to judge anybody. That is between you and God. But let me tell you something. If you're holding back what you're supposed to be doing with your tithes and offerings, The Lord gave me something right here. Don't expect anything financially good. And that's what this is saying right here. Look at verses 44 through 45. And again, if you're doing it, keep going with it. If you're not doing it faithfully, get on the ball. If you're not doing it the correct way, ask the Lord, spend some time with him, find out what's going on. When people talk to me about giving or tithing, I say, look it, fall in love with Jesus, you'll give and tithe. Just fall in love with him. Doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter. When you're in love with the Lord, it doesn't matter. There's nothing on this earth that compare. That doesn't mean I'm draining my bank account and I can't buy ice cream for my family. No, I'm sowing God's portion to him, and I expect to see everything I need come back to me. And I don't try to figure it out. I just know it happens. So you can't tell me it doesn't work. So let's look at 44 and 45. And thank God we're not here. Now all who believed were gathered together, had all things in common. They sold all their possessions and goods and divided them among all who had need. We're not telling you to sell everything you own. Now, we don't live in the barter system where that's how they did a lot of these things. And if you study this out, these were the people that were more wealthy, sold off possessions to help the body of Christ. The people that were coming to the body of Christ at this time were destitute. What do you think the distribution center does? What do you think the prison ministry does? What do you think the food pantry does? So it's helping through your tithes and offerings to further the kingdom of God. God, in the New Testament, he's just telling you, give your 10%. Live off the 90. Give some offerings off that. You can have the rest, but be obedient to what I'm telling you to do, and I will do great and mighty things for you. So benevolence took over the church here. They were willing to sell all that they had. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. And again, I didn't want to do this, to be honest with you. I wanted to skip right over this one. But there are still people that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing in the body of Christ. Not fully, and that's between you and God, and I want to give you a better understanding today and allow the Lord to speak to you. So Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now, this is treasures. This is not talking about don't have a house and a car and be able to go on vacation. God blesses you with all that stuff. But don't let it become a treasure to you where you can't sacrifice something if God tells you to. Or don't let that say, well, I can't tithe because I got to get a bigger, nicer car. See what I'm saying here? Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And there's the key. You know, the joke is a man comes to heaven with a bag of gold and he says, what do you do? You can bring one thing in. What are you bringing? I'm bringing a bag of gold. And the angels all laugh and say, he's bringing pavement. God uses gold as pavement. It's just showing us that things of this the earth, you're not going to be descending to heaven hopefully going, oh, my car. That's sad. Oh, I didn't get to use all my savings account as you're being translated into heaven. That's when there's a treasure problem. That's where there's a problem. And the Lord said to me in Malachi to reverse Malachi for you. And think about it this way. So Malachi says, and let me read it to you quick if you don't know it. I'm going to read it real quick. You don't have to turn there. We've heard it before. Malachi 3 verses 8 through 11. Will a man rob God? Yeah, you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that you may have food in your house. Try me on this now, says the Lord of hosts. Will I not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out such a blessing that there'll be no room to contain it? And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake so that you will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fall bare to fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So we know what the word says. So let's think of the opposite if we're not going to tithe and give. You're actually stealing from God. That's what's going on right now. You're cursed by God. It says right here, that he will bless you and not curse you. So if you're stealing and not doing what you're supposed to, you're being cursed by God. Nothing to give or help those in need. So when you're not doing what you're supposed to do, those who need help, we can't further the vision. That's what's going on. The windows of heaven close. It says here that they'll open up when you tithe and give and do your job. You don't want to, expect the windows of heaven to stay closed. There's no other way to get them open. To be obedient in the word of God. There's no blessing being poured out of those windows. They've been closed. The blessing stops. The cupboards are empty. I don't know about you, but I don't want my cupboards empty. I want them full. The devourer has rule over you. It says he's rebuked for your sake. And pastor says all the time, sometimes the devourer is not the devil. It's our spending. It's our stewardship. But that will run rampant in your life if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. The fruit of your ground is destroyed. We want to see our lives flourish and blessed, but we keep the window shut and the blessing stopped, and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Our trees fail bearing fruit. We don't see that fruit being bared. It says here that they will bear fruit and they will not be barren. So the opposite is true. People will call you cursed and full of lack instead of calling you blessed for the nations to see. You will be miserable. You will not be able to get ahead. The worst phrase I think I've ever heard in the body of Christ is, I can't afford to tithe. I've heard it many a times. That's not true. And again, it's a heart love attitude. I tell people, look, start with $5. Fall in love with Jesus, start with $5. That will grow and increase as you see the things of God grow and increase. I'll never forget when the Israel family came in with a car that it looked like the Flintstones, like their feet were coming through the floor. All those kids, nothing. They're buying houses now. Because of her sowing and her giving and her children, you look at the Israel kids. Oh, well, they just have it easy. Are you kidding me? They started sowing at an early age and learned it. Luke 6:38, give and it will come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. What's the opposite? No overflow, no abundance, barely just enough. It's going to take some time to prime that pump. That's why I say, you know what? Ask the Lord if you're not doing it. How do I get on track and do it? And I have a challenge for you. We had a lady in here for years that would go to her W-2 at the end of every year. And if her giving statement didn't match her W-2, she would write a check to match it. She told us that. Because she would forget, you know, not on purpose. But she said, I'm too afraid not to make sure that my finances are not in the right spot. Look, this is totally up to you. But sometimes you can take your giving statement and say, okay, where am I at? Sometimes you go, woof, that was awesome. I'm more than enough this year. And other times you might say, Polly, I'll be at the church tomorrow. I'll meet you there Tuesday morning. I've had people do that, send FedEx packages, say, whoa, I totally forgot. I'm going to FedEx it to you. I'm like, that's okay. Just tell the Lord about it. You're not going to hell if you don't get it into the office right away. I'm telling you right now, you will not be able to contain the blessings and be a blessing to the people around you. And how many would you like to buy cars for people and buy groceries for people and not have to worry about where your money's coming from? Step into that abundance. And I'm telling you, when you sow, that's what happens. Amen. And that's what the church did here. This is how they saw it added to daily. The treasure of their heart was not in financial gain. And here's the greatest thing about giving into Harvest Church, and I'm going to toot Harvest Church's horn. Your money's doubly blessed. We are sowing 10% of what you send in right back out the door on a weekly basis. When you look to invest into a company, unless you're in some kind of hostile takeover mode and you're looking for a bad company to take over, you look for companies that are healthy. You look for businesses that are healthy, not saying, let me throw my money into the wind and hopefully it comes back. So your money is being protected. The distribution center paid for in full. The property here paid for in full. The ministries that we're being a blessing to, the prisoners and the orphans. You know how exciting it is to write checks to Lily the Valley for $1,000, $2,000 to help them. You know, Marie tells us, how much chicken parm did she make that day? She made chicken parm for the kids in the orphanage from 8 in the morning till 4 in the morning. I think she's like 300 cutlets or something like that. Still doing the work for those kids that they find in the dumpster in Mexico, literally living in the dump. That's what your money's doing. It's sowing that seed. Get a part of that. Brother John was telling me what a blessing it was to see Dana, who had taught for 25 years, and all the kids that she's affected that are still here, to see that turnover of seed sown. You know, when you're sowing into the body of Christ, you're giving church the ability to continue to sow and keep that turnover going in the things of the Spirit. Know that it's a healthy church moving forward in the things of God. Amen? And it's because you're a part of it. Just ask the Lord, church. We want to see the best for you. That's really it. You know, we teach our children. We want the best for them. They got to make their own decisions at some point. We can't go around making decisions for them. But I challenge you, get it right with your giving and your sowing and being faithful in the house of God. You'll never lack in any area. Amen? The last one. Verse 46 through 47. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread and house to house, they ate food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with some people. All people. and then they were added to daily. Church, what's going on in the body of Christ today with people not liking other people is a shame. If you want to see God really move, and we do see it move, but if you really want to see God move, and again, this is on, it's back on you. You have an investment in this church to see the things of God, to see wheelchairs on the walls and homosexuals and lesbians completely saved and transformed and broken homes being mended. Favor, you have to have favor with everybody. You don't come in and go, oh, so-and-so's praying, I'm going to go hang out in the hallway. Oh, pastors aren't here, I'm not going to come to church. But unfortunately, some people think that way. Oh, I don't would agree with that. The worst thing you can do in the body of Christ is this going, because it cuts at your pastors and your leaders. We are trying so hard to manage the local body, to keep everybody, you know, like the shepherd in the pen and hurdled in and protected, and we want to see the best for you. And then you have people complaining about how we are being told by the Spirit of God to do something. Keep your mouth shut. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. And the Lord led me to the scripture verse when I was thinking about this. The power, we know there's power in our words. Does everybody know that? But when you say or undermine or just make snide remarks, if you trust your leaders and somebody's praying or somebody, pastor calls somebody up to lay hands on somebody or hands the mic to somebody to sing, why isn't he doing it to me? That's what's holding back the things of the Spirit. And here's why it's so important. The Lord led me to the scripture verse in Mark 5. You don't have to turn there, about the demon-possessed man. When Jesus came upon that demon-possessed man, the demon said, uh-oh, we won't be able to last here. And what they had to do, they could not leave that man's body until Jesus gave him permission with his words, until the command came forth to go into the swine. How powerful are our words? The enemy doesn't read our mind. He can't read our mind. We can mess around, our own mind can get all squirrely, but he can't read it. But the second you say anything out of your mouth, the devil comes to church. Sometimes some people bring him in with them. Sometimes our mindset is not in the right shape, and he's tagging along because he's waiting. You were complaining all the way here in the car. You were complaining getting ready. You were complaining last night. And the devil and the demons are waiting for those words to take him and act. And that's exactly what happened here. When I asked the Lord, we've heard, you know, your tongue is like a rudder and moving a ship and there's life and death. And we heard, I said, God, I want an example, you know, and that's what he said to me. What about the demons? The demons in that man could not move until the power of Jesus' words. They were just waiting for his words. It says to permit them to go. Permit them. So your words permit life and death in the body of Christ. If you don't like something going on with anything, programs, I don't like the way we do this anymore, don't say a word. For if you love, how many of you love your pastors? Every hand up. You love me today? If you run a household and you have children and you're trying to discipline one children and the other children is saying stuff and undermine you behind your back, is that easy to deal with? No. Don't listen to mom. She don't know what she's talking about. She's crazy. This is what you got to do. If you just keep on them, you know, sooner or later you'll get what you want. Is it hard to get anything done when that's going on? What do you think it's like in the body of Christ? Come and circle up for prayer. Oh God, not again. I hate standing for prayer. Out of your mouth. And here's the other thing. Don't say, well, I'm just not going to come early anymore. That's another mistake. And what the church was doing here to see right after they found favor with each other and spending time with each other, there's people in the congregation that don't even want to sit anywhere near somebody else. That's a shame. If you're perfect, I don't know what you're doing here. Nobody's perfect. And people, church, this is something that the enemy uses against the body of Christ, and he will continue to use against the body of Christ. But if we would fight against it, we will see God move. It's just let it roll off you. Walk in kindness. Tony said it last week. Thank God he doesn't keep track of what we do. So why do we keep track of what everybody else does? The love chapter doesn't keep record, doesn't keep account. Yes, it's annoying. Yes, you want to strangle somebody. Yes, I'm tired of hearing that. But don't let it affect you where it comes out of your mouth so the devil's waiting and grabs that word and runs with it and takes it to somebody else. And then, I don't really like when they do that. Or, yeah, you're right. Or, why is it so cold? Why is it so hot? Why did they paint that color? I would have done the stripes a different color. I mean, I'm being silly. I hope it's not that bad. But But we come in and we're saying these things. And if you love your pastors and your leaders, keep your mouth shut for your own benefit too, because there's life and death in the tongue. And the enemy is waiting for those words to come out to do something with. So if you don't agree with something, pray. If you want to see something change and something, now I'll get hoarse, if some sin going on or something really wacky, that's a different story. But I'm talking about what we don't really like. I don't think standing in a circle is sinful. I don't think pre-service prayer is going to make anybody go to hell. I don't think taking 9 foundation classes with the membership and then sitting is going to make you die or go to hell, but it's going to form you and get you in line with what's going on in the body of Christ. So take it and receive it. How many of us on our job, everything we do, we love? That was the first 100% participation. Did you see that? Do you still do your job? And when you complain about it, does it make it better? Does it help other employees? Does it help your witness for Christ? It probably makes your life worse. Because the enemy's like, oh, you don't like that? Let me put 3 more people in your path that's just like that person. Oh, you don't like how they work? Let me send another dozen your way to sit all around you in your cubicle. So why do we think it's okay to come in the body of Christ and do that to your leaders and other fellow members of the body of Christ? Don't you think they sense and experience that? And every time you don't like somebody, the way they dress, the way they act, how they sing, where they sit, there'll be 10 more people sitting on top of you. That's how the devil works. Till he discourages you out of the body of Christ, or you put up a block and you don't really receive all that God has for you. Nobody in here wants to do that. So how many in here want to see God add to the church daily? Yes. Amen. And we're going to follow this outline, and we're going to be challenged by it, and we're going to take this word home, and we're going to take this opportunity to say, okay, God, I want to apply your word, because I really do want to see the church added to daily. I really want to see, does anybody like to see empty seats in the house of God? And it's not about numbers. You know, we were saying to our youth staff all year, our numbers were kind of going like this. I said, look, the kids that we have right now in youth group, these are the kids God has entrusted to us to mold and shape. Whether it's 5, 25, 30, 7, these kids were given to us. And as long as they're given to us, we're going to put 100% back into them. That's why we want to see Harvest Church full, so that we're pouring out and seeing people flourish in the things of God and blessed and highly favored. Not to say, oh, we had 500 people in church. Oh, it doesn't matter to us. But we want to see the house of God full, salvations, restorations, generational curses being broken off, family members growing. And if we apply the word of God to our lives, church, we'll see God add to us daily. Amen. And like I said, I think, to go back to the beginning, because I think God, the Lord, wanted to do something this morning in this respect, but I wanted to speak this word about allowing the Lord to cut through our hearts. Some of us need rejection cut through. Some of us need hurts cut through. Some of us need a financial breakthrough cut through, softening of our hearts. And so as this time, we talked about salvation, and we want to take this opportunity to see if there's anybody in here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They've never asked Jesus to come into their heart. It's that confession of faith to say that you're a sinner, you believe that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but you want to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. That's the first step of salvation. But like I said in the beginning, if you need to have your heart molded and changed into a heart of flesh to where the Spirit of God can cut through these issues once and for all, or deal with some of these issues that you may be feeling, because the first step in this seeing the church add to was the salvation step, was to see their hearts changed from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And to receive this word this morning, church, you need a heart of flesh. If there was any crustiness or hardness of heart, it got harder this morning if you didn't want to receive the word. I got news for you. But if you were saying, God, throughout this message, mold, make my heart pliable. That's what that scripture verse means there, cut. Make the heart pliable and teachable. So as we have some time at the altar today, if you want to take that moment and say, you know what, that issue God needs to deal with me in, or you know what, I just need my heart softened. I've come across people that have hurt me. I've come across people that have said things, other believers, and it's making my heart not pliable in the hands of the Savior. Amen. So as you either go about your way today or you want to come and just worship at the altar, I encourage you to allow the Spirit of God to cut through maybe some of those layers in your heart, to kind of peel away and cut through so that he can put in his Spirit, so that he can deal with some of these situations if you allow yourself to be. Amen. We're all just going to close in prayer, and we love you all. Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you for the Word of God. Just we're able to receive it with gladness and joy. Father, I ask that the church would be challenged each and every day to set their minds on the things of the Spirit so they would never get in the rut of the flesh in any way, Father. We thank you for this body. We speak blessings upon them, protection upon them. Father, we thank you for more than enough in every area of their lives as they further the kingdom of God. Father, we expect to see souls added to the kingdom of God daily through our lives and our marketplaces, through them coming to church, through everyday contact that we have, Father. We thank you for your blessings upon this house and in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we love you and bless you. Hope to see you all next Sunday. And if you want to spend time at the altar, go right ahead.